It is so very good to see everybody who is here this morning. I have a request of you. If there's anybody here that happens to have portable radios that are not big, large stereos, but portable radios that actually work, if you would not mind allowing us to use them for however long this is going to last, what we're trying to do, we've got a new piece of equipment that will actually transmit into the parking lot and also down the hall. And so all you've got to do is have a radio. You don't have to stay in your car, in other words. And we're about to get into July here soon, and there's an old phrase, hotter than July, and we're expecting it to start getting hot. And you may not want to stay in the cars out there. If you're running your air conditioner for, you know, an hour, okay, that's fine if you want to do that. But if you want to come inside and you feel uncomfortable coming into the assembly, we have set up radios all the way down the hall in all the rooms. And so we got four right now, I think, and we have four right now. So if you happen to have another one, please be willing to share it for a few months. Okay, my sermon this morning is going to start over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 6 through 8. I'm reading from the outline if you have it in front of you. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who loved his appearing. I call this the eulogy of the Apostle Paul, because in the context here, he says, the time of my departure is at hand. That means he realizes he's going to die soon. And I want you to realize, though, what he says about himself here at the close of his life when he realizes he's not going to be around much longer. He says three things I want you to focus in on. First, I fought the good fight. Second, I have finished the race. And then third, I have kept the faith. Our lesson this morning is going to be a study of these three statements that Paul made about himself in the close of his life, with the hope that we can say the same thing when it comes to the close of our life, when we realize the time of our departure is at hand. Because as he says here in verse 8, finally there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness. This is what we're all trying to get to. We're all trying to get to heaven to be with our God Almighty forever. We're trying to get to be with Jesus forever. We believe heaven is real. We believe God is real, and we're trying to get there. Let's take this text now and start breaking it down. I have fought the good fight. In writing to Timothy, the evangelist, Paul says to the Holy Spirit in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. There again, we're seeing in the last part of the verse what it is we're pressing on toward, what it is we're fighting to try to attain to, and that is eternal life. But notice how he describes the Christian life here. It's a fight. It's a war, as a matter of fact. In 2 Timothy 2 and 3, he says, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We are in a spiritual war. There is no Switzerland in this war. There is no neutral ground in this war. You're either in the camp of Satan, you're in the camp of God, and there is no in-between. We were born into this world where a spiritual war is taking place. The battleground is our mind. The battleground is our heart. And the spoils of this war is our soul's eternal destiny. And so you cannot have the attitude, well, I don't want to get involved. You are involved. You're here. You're alive. You're involved whether you like it or not. Because you're going to do one of two things. You're either going to join the army of the enemy or surrender to the enemy, or you're going to be in the army of God. You're going to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. And as a soldier of Jesus Christ in the spiritual war, we are expected to fight. Fight the good fight of faith. When you go over to Ephesians chapter 6, going back to the outline now. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'm going to come back to the overhead here in a moment. Right now, I want to look at verse 10. We are fighting against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're fighting against Satan, okay? How do you fight against Satan? What kind of strength do I have against a spiritual being? Me within myself, the answer is none. None. I cannot fight him on my own. I don't have the strength. I don't have the power. For us to fight him, getting back to the outline, it has to be strong in the Lord. We've got to be strong in the Lord and the power of whose might? His might. Not my might, his might. And it is in this text here where he's teaching us how to do it. How to fight the good fight of faith. Now getting to the overhead here. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Getting back to the outline now. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so it explains to you here in verse 12 why it is that we've got to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And the way we do that is by putting on the whole armor of God. And then he starts here in the text explaining to us what that armor is in verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Now, I got a question for you. He's talking about standing against spiritual wickedness, but he talks about standing in the evil day. My question for you is this. When's the evil day? Every day. Every day that the enemy hits you. And I got a question for you. When is he not going to hit you? When are you not going to be attacked? When you're dead. But as long as you're alive, the enemy is going to attack you. He's going to hit you in all kinds of different ways. Then how do we defend ourselves? How do we stand in the evil day? Again, he says it twice here, by putting on the whole armor of God. And so that being said now, let's get down to the armor. Again, I'm reading from the outline. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now we're here in verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now I want to stop right there. You remember what we learned over earlier in Timothy? I read to you earlier in Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Here when he's talking about putting on the whole armor of God, what is our shield? Our shield here is the shield of faith that we put out all the fiery darts. What's a fiery dart? Somebody's got a flaming arrow and is shooting it at you. This is describing you being tempted by Satan, you being attacked by Satan. How do we resist temptation from Satan? The answer is this, faith. Faith. You know why we take the Lord's Supper? Because we are forgetful people. And we get caught up in our busy life and all the activities of life. And we need to have our mind brought back to the foundation of our relationship with God. And that is God loved us so much, as David read to us, that he did give his son to die for me. And we're meant to focus our mind on that death and that sacrifice that was made because we sinned. I sinned. I deserve to go to hell. You deserve to go to hell. But God didn't want that to happen to you or me. And he loved us so much, he really gave his son to die for me and you. It really happened, folks. This is not some myth. This is reality. God loves you. God knows you. God gave his son to die for you. Those of us that are Christians, we believe this. I believe it with every fiber of my being. You know how I got there? With this. The Word of God. I've read and I've studied Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I've read about the virgin birth. You know, I believe it actually happened. I don't believe it's make-believe. I've read about the miracles that Jesus did. I believe he actually did them. I've read about his crucifixion and his resurrection. I believe it happened. And because I believe that this is the truth about his birth, about his miracles, about his death, about his resurrection, I have come to the conclusion that somebody I've never seen, he really is the Son of God, he really is the Christ, and he really rose from the dead conquering death. And I'm putting all of my hope and all of my trust in that. And by my faith and by your faith, this is how we are obedient to God. And since faith is our shield, what do we need to do with our shield? Practice. Get it strong. Go back to the foundation. Go back and focus the mind on Christ crucified. When you're being tempted, remember and think about this. Christ died for my sin. Am I going to do it again? You'll realize this, folks. It's very difficult to give in to temptation when in your mind's eye, you're focusing on Calvary. It's very difficult to give in to sin when you're realizing everything that happened there was for my foolishness. My sin, your foolishness, your sin. Through the eyes of faith, look to Calvary. And through your faith, you can do this. You don't have to sin. You can put out all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Fight! Fight the good fight of faith. Verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. The Word of God. When our captain, Jesus the Christ, was attacked by the enemy in Matthew chapter 4 and was being tempted by him, how did God in the flesh defend himself? He pulled his sword from the sheath and he said to the enemy, Satan, it is written. And then he quoted the scripture to Satan. There are scriptures that fit the battles that you and I are losing, okay? I want you to do something before we go any further. Examine yourself, okay? Come to know who you really are and where you really are spiritually. Recognize you got weaknesses. I got weaknesses. You got weaknesses. We all got weaknesses, okay? That's the reality. Know yourself. Recognize where your weaknesses really are. And then find the scriptures that fit the battles you keep losing. And the next time the enemy comes back, and you know he's coming back, pull your sword from the sheath and say, it is written, and quote the scripture. Quote it. That's what our captain did, isn't it? If that is what our captain Christ did, who are we to think we can defeat him without it? We can't. That's the point I'm trying to make, folks. If you wonder why you keep losing battles, it's because you're not fighting. Fight! The good fight of faith. Do not surrender. And even when you're weary, go back to the Word and draw strength from the Word. And learn to use your weapon to where you fight the good fight of faith. The second thing Paul says in his eulogy is, I finished the race. Going back to the outline now. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. One of the favorite metaphors the Apostle Paul uses in his life and in his writings through the Holy Spirit and describing the Christian life is the metaphor of the race. And here again he talks about the prize. You remember, fight the good fight of faith that you may attain to what? Eternal life. And in running this race, he talks about that prize. You remember what he said earlier? Well, he talks about, I finished the race, so there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness. There's the prize. We're trying to attain to eternal life in heaven with God. We believe it's real, and we're going to run this race all the way to the very end of it. Why? That we may obtain it. We're trying to obtain the prize. We believe it's real, and we're going to run a race and run it by faith. Getting back to the text here, verse 25, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, I fight, not as one who beats the air. Okay, here again he's using the metaphor here of running a race and fighting. And by the way, when they're beating the air, you ever seen these guys out there, you know, they got the bag and they're hitting the bag? Okay, and these guys that are practicing fighting, they practice fighting with their arms. Okay, well, why? Why are you hitting that bag? What kind of prize are you going to get from that? They're going to give you a piece of metal and say, well done, you came in first. We're not running for a perishable crown. We're not running for a perishable prize. We are running for an imperishable crown. We are running a race to attain to eternal life. Life for eternity in a spiritual body with God Almighty forever. As I've said, this is what is real, folks. We're not just chasing a pie in the sky, make-believe Christian myth to make us feel good. We really believe it's there. We believe heaven is real, and God is real, and eternal life is real. And we're running this race to attain this prize. Going over to Philippians now, to the outline. Chapter 3, 12 through 14. Not that I have already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Again, here in the Philippian letter, through the Holy Spirit, he's using the metaphors of the race. But let's take this text now and break it down. Forgetting those things which are behind. As I've told you openly here just a few moments ago, I've been foolish in my life. I've sinned. And I can sit down and remember a lot of these terrible things in my past life. Okay, what good is that going to do me? Truth of the matter is, unless I can learn from them not to go that way, not much. But don't let Satan keep you looking behind. If you are a child of God and you've obeyed the gospel, your sins have been washed away by the power of the blood of the Christ. Learn from what's behind you, but don't live in the past. Focus on what is ahead. Anybody here actually ever run track? Okay. Did your coach teach you, do not look back? And anytime I see somebody in the Olympics and they're running the race and, you know, and they make this mistake, oh, I'm thinking, oh, you messed up. Even if you win the race, you could get raked over the coals because you don't look back. You focus on one thing. You focus on the finish line. Now listen to me, brethren. Listen close. We must focus on one thing. The finish line. Finishing our race in Christ. That's the finish line. And I want every single individual that is in this building this morning to finish your race in Christ. All the way to the very end, running and living and walking by faith all the way. He talks about here, I press toward the goal. When you ran track, David, did it, you ever get the bear on your back? The very first day of track tryouts, I wanted to run the 440. And so we were having the tryout for the 440. And so he said, on your mark, get set, go. I took off, folks. I was giving everything I had. I heard somebody out of the right side go, oh, look away. And I was going good, and I got about 220 yards, and all of a sudden, we call it the bear on the back. I came in last, walking across the finish line. I didn't get to run the 440 either. When you run the race of Christianity, sometimes you're going to get the bear on your back. And it's tough to keep going forward. Hebrews says in chapter 12 and verse 1, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Hebrews 12 and 1 talks about us being surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And that is what he says here. You got to lay aside the weights. If something is weighing you down or someone is weighing you down and it's making it difficult for you to run, you know what you do with weights? Get them off. If there's sin that you are entangled in, what do you do with it? You get untangled from it. You lay it aside. You get untangled from it. You like take the weights off, take the sin off, and you just keep on going. Now listen to me, folks. There's going to be times when you're going to fall, okay? There's going to be times when you're going to mess up and go into sin yet again. What do we do in those moments? Do you stay on the ground? Do you stay entangled in sin? That's exactly what Satan wants us to do. He wants you to give up. He wants you to stay on the ground. Stay entangled. Keep the weights on. This text here talks about how we've got to get up again, lay aside the weights, and then keep on enduring. Keep pressing on. Keep going forward. Even if you're going forward, baby steps, go forward. Do not stop for anything or anyone. Keep getting up. Keep pressing on. Hebrews 12 now, and verse 12. By the way, I skipped over Acts 20. I'm going to go straight down to Hebrews 12. I'm reading from the outline. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. You ever seen anybody run a marathon? How their arms are pumping. They look strong. They look good at the very beginning. And then a lot of times, I've seen the people finishing the race and the arms are kind of down to the side. And I've even seen some that were more like wobbly. And they kind of wobble across the finish line. Okay? Even if they wobbled across the finish line, they got across the finish line. Sometimes your hands may hang down. Sometimes your knees may be feeble and you're wobbly. Okay? Brethren, listen real close to this. When you sense and you see a brother or a sister who's wobbly and the hands are hanging down, what do you do for them? You know, the race of Christianity is a little different than regular races. In regular races, if you run and you fall, tough. You're on your own. In Christianity, we don't shoot our dead. My wife has said, I got it wrong. We don't shoot our wounded. They're already dead. You don't shoot dead. We don't shoot our wounded. I'll get it right eventually. If somebody falls, we slow down. And even stop if we have to, and help them get back up. Okay? We help each other get back up. You're not alone. So if you're down and you're struggling, you're not alone. You have brethren, you have brothers and sisters in Christ. We care about each other here. and our goal is to help you endure. Do not give up. Do not get so discouraged that you quit. We will spend time with you helping you get up and encouraging you and exhorting you to get back into the race. The goal is simply this. We want everybody here to cross the finish line in Christ. Is that a simple goal to understand? But sometimes we need encouragement. Sometimes we need a hand up. So if somebody, you realize they're feeble, their hands hang down, what does he say to do to them? Strengthen those hands. Strengthen them, encourage them, help them, so that none would stay on the ground, but all would press on, and all would finish the race. And then Paul says, thirdly, I have kept the faith. From Romans chapter 16, verse 26, but now made manifest by the prophetic scriptures, made known to all nations. But before I go any further, notice, this is really an amazing text here. Notice how many different ways God describes the scriptures. The prophetic scriptures that have been made known to all nations. According to the commandment of the everlasting Father. The point I'm trying to make is the commandment of the everlasting Father is the scriptures. And then he says, why has it been made known? It's been made known for obedience to, notice the phrase, the faith. What does Paul mean when he says, I have kept the faith? The faith is the systems of beliefs and practices that comes from the prophetic scriptures and the commandments of the everlasting God being read and then being obeyed. In other words, there are commands in Christianity that God expects us to live by these commands. And when you're living by those commands together, compiled together, are what we call the faith. And the faith is meant to be done what? Obeyed. For obedience to the faith. That's what the scriptures and the commandments are given for. Let me give you more verses on this. In Jude, verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning the common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you, now notice this, to contend earnestly for what? The faith. What does he say about the faith? Which was once for all delivered to the saints. The faith, the scriptures, the commandments of God, they were delivered to the saints. And he wants us to earnestly contend for the faith. David, you correctly pointed out that there are different lines out there in the world of religion and Christianity. And if you want to understand what we're about here, we're trying to follow and figure out what the faith really is that was delivered to the saints. And we're trying to encourage people just to follow this, just to follow the Word of God, just to keep His commandments by faith. But you need to realize one of the reasons there's so many divisions out there is because different people obviously are teaching different things. And I'm just going to give you a simple reality here, folks. Somebody's wrong. Somebody's not right. That's just common sense reality right there, folks. And we need to realize it could be us. Okay? Being honest about it. And so we are meant to look into the Word of God, look into the Scriptures, look into the commandments of God, and try to determine what is the will of God so that we then can have obedience to the faith and by faith obey the will of God. Going further with this, over in 1 Timothy chapter 6 now, verse 14. That you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appears. And so what I'm wanting you to see here is it has to do with keeping the commandments. And he wants to keep these commandments until our Lord Jesus Christ appears. He says, going over to 1 Timothy chapter 6, now verse 21. And then 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to read from the outline. 1 Timothy chapter 6. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning what? The faith. And so he's warning Timothy here about things that are being taught out there that aren't true. And he talks about how people who profess these things, unfortunately, what have they done? They've strayed from the faith. So what I learned here, folks, you can stray from the faith. How do you stray from the faith? Because you're following things that actually aren't the commandments of God. Going now to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. You need to realize, folks, this has been true in every generation of Christianity. In every generation of Christianity, there are things out there that aren't true, that are taught to be the commandments of God. And so if you want to understand the Airport Loop Church of Christ and what we're about here, I'll explain it to you very simply. We're trying to look into the Scriptures, the commandments of God, and figure out what the will of God is and then do it by faith. And Christianity, quite honestly, is pretty simple. We're trying to learn how to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbors ourselves. Those two commandments you see right over there, that's pretty much it. That's the core of it all. And we do recognize that within the Word of God, He gives commands about how to treat ourselves, how to treat my wife, how to treat your husband, how to treat your family, how to treat your brethren, how to treat your neighbor. How to live. The morals of Christianity. What are they? We're trying to look into the Word of God and let the morals taught in the Word of God be the standard of the faith that we obey by faith. And so, Colossians chapter 1, 21 through 23. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He is reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Look at the last point here on the sermon outline now, on the overhead. If you indeed do what? Continue in the faith. What did Paul say about himself at the close of his life? I've kept the faith. He continued in the faith. He was doing the commandments of God by faith all the way to the very close of his life. Now then, let's pull it all together. What was it Paul said about himself? He said, I fought the good fight of faith. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. That's what I want to be able to be said about me. That's what I want to be able to be said about you. To where when it is your eulogy and the close of your life and your funeral, the person can say with total assurance, he died in Christ. She died in Christ. They finished their race in Christ all the way to the very end. But listen, folks, in this race, you're going to fall sometime, okay? That's reality. You're going to mess up royally sometimes. That's reality. In other words, you're going to sin, okay? What do you do when those moments come? You get up, you take the sin to God, you confess it to Him, you beg for forgiveness yet again, and then you get back into the race, and you keep pressing on by faith. We are caught up in the middle of a war. The enemy desires to destroy you. He wants you to become so entangled in sin that you just give up and quit and surrender. And go into the world and go into sin and quit trying to live the Christian life and be lost for eternity. What our God wants for all of us and what our desire is for everybody that is here is that you press on. That you keep going forward by faith. That you keep keeping the commandments of God by faith in your life. And that you are faithful all the way to the very close of your life. Because as I've told you, the crown of righteousness is real. Eternal life is real. Heaven is real and God is real. And Jesus is real, folks. It's all real. And I want to see you there. I want to see you on the other side. I want to see you with my Lord Jesus Christ in His presence. I want to see you in the presence of our God together. And the only way that can be achieved is for us to finish our race, for us to keep the faith, for us to fight the good fight of faith to the close of our life. I appreciate your kind attention. Let's close with a prayer. Almighty God, you are our God. You are our Father. Our God, we come before your throne of mercy. Our Father, we realize that there are times in our life that we sin, that we fail you, that we do not keep the faith. Our God and our Father, we pray that you will look down upon us in your mercy. As you see the penitent heart and our godly sorrow and our contrite and broken heart about our sin, we pray, our God, that you will please allow the blood of your Son, Jesus, that you would allow his blood to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, that we may be pure and holy before you even now. Help us, Father, that we may learn to put on the whole armor of God so that we can stand in the evil day. Help us to learn to fight the good fight of faith as soldiers of Christ. Help us, Father, to finish our race in Christ, that we may be with you and our Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. Our Father, we recognize that there are those of this congregation who are physically ill and struggling with their health. We continue to pray for our dear sister, Lewis, that you will help her as she's going through her chemo treatments, that she will be able to be strong enough to endure those treatments. And we pray, our Father, that if it is your will, you will allow her to be healed of her cancers. Father, we pray that you will be with my friend and my brother in Christ in Mississippi, Jeff Mann. And if it is your will, allow him to also, Father, to be healed of his cancer. But Father, if they are to pass, we pray that you will have mercy on them and let them be with you. And please be with their family during these difficult times they're going through. And again, our Father, when each and every one of us in this congregation finish our races in Christ, more than anything, our God, we pray for mercy, that you will please let us be with you. This is our prayer. This is our plea in the name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.